Primary Reaction Chamber.
Where Copper Remindos on or
Time.
Initial reaction at T-minus 30.
Fuel slug in place.
Stand by for injection.
Capsule breach now.
Reaction commencing.
Containment field hold to 3.14 meters of time. Initial dangers crossing to capacity.
Can we hold it?
What's happening?
Critical mass.
Hold on!
Mind spike!
I'm Winston Crutchfield, and you're listening to the special ambush edition of Critical Mass Podcast. I feel like I got ambushed. I noticed a flyer at the comic book shop this past week that we were having an anime and gaming convention at the library over the weekend. And so I grabbed my portable rig and microphone and headed down to the library to check it out and see what was going on.
Do I have to?
No, you don't have to. I'm at the Evansville, what is this, EvilCon. Is it really going by EvilCon?
Yes, it is going. My name's Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. You look official. What's going on here?
Well, we've been wanting to get an anime convention that comes in, and so we started out with just kind of a mini convention, and that's what EvilCon is. So we have workshops that are happening. We have Josh Elder, who is a mangaka, that is... has come in to do some workshops, and we have anime that's running out everywhere in the room, and we have upstairs some gaming that's happening.
So you got just a little bit of everything going on here, anime and cartoon workshops and video games, and my goodness, I don't see any role-playing going on. Do you have any gamers here?
We're going to have a cosplay contest toward the end. We will actually shut down both the workshop room and the anime viewing room and turn it into cosplay so people can do skits and stuff if they want. We'll have judges, but this year the judges aren't going to be judging on skits, just on appearance right now.
Okay. Now, cosplay, that's short for costume play, right? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, around we can see a lot of different people that have dressed up as their favorite anime characters or books from manga, or even some of them are probably just going to be in general kind of Japanese culture type outfits.
Okay. Now, how do you fit into all this? Are you one of the event organizers, or are you just out here volunteering, or...
I am actually a volunteer. We have two groups that are putting this together. We have Otaku Anonymous and Otana no Otaku. The Otaku Anonymous is for teenagers that are anime fans and such, and then Otana no Otaku is for adults. They already meet in the libraries. In fact, Otana no Otaku will meet Monday after this is over, which we will just pretty much crash and watch anime together. and the Otaku Anonymous meets on some Saturdays. Don't know the times. They'll have the times down at the table. There's a table for them, so you might want to talk to them, too.
Okay. Now, are you a big anime fan?
Yes.
What's your favorite?
All-time favorite was Inuyasha, although I also like Ouran High School Host Club.
Very cool. Do you get into the manga, or is it just the...
I get into the manga as well.
Okay. What's your favorite manga?
Probably Vampire Knight.
Vampire Knight. Now, that one I haven't heard of. Okay.
We've got someone in costume of Vampire Knight right here.
There you go. Okay. Well, do you want to say a few words? We're doing a podcast about the con coverage here. Tell me about Vampire Knight.
Vampire Knight's an anime released only in Japan right now. It's basically about a group of vampires that are hidden in a school in the night class. You have two day class members, Yuki and Zero, who protect the day class, which is normal humans, from not knowing that the night class is full of vampires. Interesting show. I like it.
Nice. And you're dressed up as a character from Vampire Knight?
Yes. Technically, I should be wearing a skirt because I'm thinking it's supposed to be Yuki. But the skirt did not work.
Well, sometimes those things happen. Okay. Well, what's your name, ma'am?
Amanda.
Amanda, very nice to meet you. You have a good time at the con.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm over at the Teen Anime Club table, and what's the name of the club again?
The club is Otaku Anonymous.
Otaku Anonymous, and I'm here with a couple of staff. What's your name?
Lydia.
Lydia?
Christina.
Lydia and Christina, and you guys are in costume. Yeah? What are you, is this just a general costume, or are you supposed to be characters?
I'm Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
And I'm in a general costume, mainly Lolita genre. So.
Okay, tell me about Lolita.
Alice is in the same category. It's ruffles and frills and lace and just fun.
Yeah, it's mainly kind of like Victorian style mixed with Japanese kind of thing. And it's, yeah, it has a lot of lace and kind of things with it. It's very cool.
Okay, well, I have to confess, the only anime I've gotten into generally has big robots and spaceships. So this is I'm a Gundam. I'm a big Gundam Wing fan. And 8th MS mobile suit. I love. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, I watched that in like 7th grade. Yeah.
Well, I heard actually heard that Gundam Wing was meant to be the teenage girl's answer to Gundam 00. So. So what other animes do you guys watch?
Well, I'll watch pretty much anything anime and, you know, give it a shot. I don't really have a favorite genre. It's just whatever comes out there.
Okay.
I have to say, best right now is Vampire Knight.
I just talked to somebody about Vampire Knight.
Vampire Knight is amazing. Probably my favorite right now is like either Gintama or Axis Pirates Italia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this is... I must be showing my age here. The stuff I remember is all Evangelion and Akira and Project Echo. And okay.
Right now, so that's gonna be pretty modern stuff now. But old time favorites, I mean, you gotta love the originals, the original ones that kids watched, the Dragon Ball Z, the Sailor Moon, the
Yu Yu Hakusho, and all
that. Yu Yu Hakusho,
that one.
Yeah, all of those.
No, wait a minute. I love Dragon Ball Z. What's up with that?
And I love Dragon Ball Z, too.
Kids show. Okay. You know what? This is a bonding point for me and my daughter. She's 8. We love Dragon Ball Z.
Are you excited about the movie or not?
I am excited about the live-action movie. I don't know. I saw the first one. I saw the first one, and it was a train wreck. But... Well, yeah, all the heroes are American.
They're not supposed to be American.
Nihongo ne.
Well, okay. Hey, guys, tell me a little bit about your anime club.
Otaku Anonymous, it usually meets every other week, and it's a student-led program done by, I think there's 5 council members right now, and they run all the meetings, and pretty much everything is done by the students, for the students. And it meets every other Saturday usually, but we meet in sessions. So it's like there's a spring session, a winter session, a fall session, and a summer session. And we take breaks in between, like the Japanese school year.
Okay. And that's here in the Evansville Public Library. So this is pretty much a local thing. It's not a big...
We haven't had anybody from far away.
No, I wouldn't imagine. But
right now we're doing staff for OMGCon in Paducah, Kentucky. And that's a con on June 5th through 7th.
Okay. Okay.
So
what kind of things do you do on your Saturday nights? Do you draw? Yeah, Saturday night. Are you drawing? Is there a screening? Or oh, no.
Have you looking for stuff?
Yeah.
You just said the con meet, or the club meets on Saturdays.
Saturday morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake.
We meet from 12 o'clock, usually till 5 o'clock. We have gaming after, like, 3 o'clock to 5 is gaming.
Oh, okay. All I'm missing is that video games. Okay. We got a couple of new arrivals. Are you guys part of the club?
Yes, I am.
Well, hang on. We've got a limited range on the mic. That's okay. What's your name?
I'm John, and I go by Kansi-sama.
I'm Nicole, but I go by Ko.
Nicole? Okay. And you guys are in costume also. Tell me about your costumes.
Well, mine's less of a costume, but it's more of, like, cultural costume. It's called a yukata, and it's a Japanese type of clothing, a traditional clothing that they wear usually during summer or during festivals. So.
Okay.
I'm decked out in gothic Lolita, and it's like a Japanese style street fashion, so it's also not really a costume.
Okay.
And it's like a type of Victorian fashion. It's really cool. It's got a lot of history to it. So.
Yeah, she made mine. So.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah.
They're both very nice. You guys are great. And y'all are part of the, you're on the staff, or you just...
They are. I'm on the staff, and I also do this group called Otaku Anonymous.
Right, we were just talking about that.
So we're from that, and we are doing 2 panels today for the EvoCon. So we're hoping that a lot of people show up.
Fantastic. About how many members do you guys have in the Otaku Anonymous Club?
We don't really have a lot. Only about 32 or so.
About
32
members
or 40.
Members on the list around, but 30 regulars.
Yeah, 30 or 40. Not that much.
Okay. You should have stayed chatting a little longer.
Okay. Well, I was asking about favorite animes. What's yours?
Probably Ghost in the Shell, or this anime called Mononoke.
Princess Mononoke.
No. Medicine Stellar.
It's
good.
It's actually.
You got real excited there.
It's a really. I mean, it's not popular yet. I don't even think it's anywhere near being licensed. But it's licensed in Canada, I guess. It's a spin-off of another anime, and it's like kind of a horror sort of ghost story type thing, and it's about this guy, and he's a medicine seller, and he like goes and purifies demons, and it's really cool. It's a really great story, and it's short, so.
Short one time.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Fantastic. Now, what about manga? Do you guys get into the manga at all, or is this more of a moving pictures club? No, I see a lot of heads bobbing.
As of now, the amount of... Like, most of Barnes & Noble, I've read all of their stuff to the point where they now get angry at me because they see me coming in, they're like, oh, so you're just going to sit there and read everything and I'll buy something.
Nice. Okay, now, a lot of criticism directed towards the anime, the manga thing is that it's for kids, it's a cultural fad, it's not real... literature. What do you? I'm sure you hear that more than a little bit. Do we have a response to that?
If you go with that, basically there's only a few storylines ever made anyway. So manga and anime just draw from those original plot lines. So it's they are quicker reads, you know, because they're not full length novels. But you get the same storyline if you just want to read something real fast and get into it. It literally sucks you into it. So.
Okay.
On the note of the cultural fad part, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but anime has been in America since, like, the 80s with Akira and Astro Boy, 70s. Yeah, see, I'm not that old, so I don't know.
Transformers.
Okay, that's my generation, sorry.
Yeah, go generation before mine. So, yeah, I mean, it's been sustained for a long time, so I don't think it's going to just, like, die out like a lot of people think it is. In Japan, as long as they produce anime and Americans have interest, and we keep, like, having companies that are willing to import it and people who are willing to buy it, and, like, fan-made conventions and things like this, it's going to keep going. It's not a cultural fad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about American answers to anime? Because we see a lot of Japanese influence in American animation.
There's actually a lot of it.
No such thing as too much opinion.
If you watch a lot of cartoon shows nowadays, you'll start to see more influences in anime. There are a lot more bigger anime eyes, and I actually really find that funny. Since I don't know if many people know this, but the whole idea of the big-eyed anime actually came from America with the original Cinderella cartoon by Disney, and they got they liked the idea of that, so they used it from that.
Right, the larger eyes are considered attractive over there, yeah.
And then as for shows that have been based off or have an anime-ish look, like there's shows like Avatar the Airbender, which I love a lot. And it has a very anime-ish feel, and there's a lot of shows that are just coming out that have more of a anime style to them, almost. I think I'm good on that. But there's I think one big problem. One big problem is what's manga? Because in America, like we have Josh Elder here, who did Mail Order Ninja. There's a lot of people out there, fans that are manga purists, and will only say, oh, if it's not from Japan, then it's not manga.
No, it is.
But manga, the word manga, well, the character form it...
Literally means comic book.
Well,
comic book, right. Yeah.
Well,
the anime just means animation.
Well, the kanji for manga... Sorry, I take Chinese, so
okay.
I know all the characters. But the character for manga is basically...
You're drawing on the poor girl's face.
I'm sorry. It basically means whimsical picture.
Okay.
That's what it directly translates to. So, I mean, anything, like any kind of picture could be manga. It's just people use the Japanese word because they want to sound cool.
That makes good sense to me. Ko, you said you had too much opinion here. Do you want to share a little bit with me?
I'll share a tiny bit. I know a lot of, like, Americans as well. I don't know, because I speak for myself. I don't know. A lot of people that I've talked to say that they don't really like Americans when they attempt to do it, because it's like, I don't know if it's not culturally rooted here, but it's going to take some time for Americans to really get the grasp of, maybe. Like, I know a lot of American-made comics, they try really hard, but I don't. There are a few, I will say, I would say there are a few that I would read, but a lot of them, it's just kind of like, I prefer the Japanese, so. There are a lot of elitists, and I feel kind of bad saying that, we're like, oh yeah.
You're
if it's
lowly,
not,
you're,
yeah.
lowly, you're allowed yeah. to be elitist.
I have to be elitist, because I'm a Lolita.
My problem with the whole, you know, translating into English and all that, you lose a lot of the meaning.
Oh yeah.
Like, even in just subbing over, so that Americans can watch them. I mean, dubbing is a whole other story. I completely hate that because it ruins the language. It's based in Japan, so if you're going to watch it and, you know, socially accept that, you should accept it the way it is, not change it to fit your needs. You know, so I don't watch English produced. Like, I'll watch it in the original Japanese.
They sync it with the way their mouth moves, and so you lose a lot of, like, the really witty conversation, like,
yeah.
especially in anime's, like, Lucky Star.
Yeah.
I lost a whole bunch in that, and it made me real sad.
The English translations you lose a lot of the meaning, especially with the dubbing. But even with subs, like, if you watch, I mean, let's just go with one of the most popular ones. Everyone knows it. Not a lot of people like it, or tons of people like it. The Naruto series, they have a character who really says, if you watch the subs, he'll say a lot of terrible words and stuff. A lot of, like, our curse words. And if you translate that back, they don't have words like that in Japan.
It might be partially edited because it's on a children's network, which is okay.
No, it's to get bad words on the subs going across.
Oh, like,
yeah. Like, they actually say our curse words, and then, you know, when it translates back, they don't even have words for those.
Yeah.
And then when they completely change it for the subs.
Yeah. It happens in a lot of anime. And then with dubbing, there becomes problems with, like, inside jokes that only people in Japan will get. The biggest...
plays on words.
The biggest...
Yeah, that's a big issue with a lot of the Pokemon, actually.
And then in America, we delete them. They won't let them have those jokes in there because it's not socially acceptable here. Which is why you should watch it in the original Japanese.
For Pokemon, I remember the first season, they referred to the rice balls as cookies, because that was more...
And then later they changed that to donuts, and yeah.
But the biggest change that they've had for, like change totally, is Shin-chan.
Which is on Adult Swim?
Yeah. It has a lot of Japanese humor on it, like... which... No, it doesn't really translate, but they have, like, a lot of Japanese references and stuff. So they actually have to change the script totally to the point where, like, the anime...
It's a completely different show, almost.
Yeah, the kids... Japanese anime, they seem more like little kids who were just wondering about everything and didn't know, and they were innocent. They were like, ooh, my butts, I'm going to play with it. But in the American version, it makes them seem like South Park, almost.
Right.
Japanese South Park.
In Japan, Shin-chan is actually a children's show. For real, it is a kid's show. Kids watch it. Yes. Here in America, it's on Adult Swim. Like, that's how far they're translated.
She watched it, and her mom said it was like, oh, yeah. Maybe it's, I'm not sure. But Noriko said her mom was like, oh, that show's stupid. Why do you watch that?
Oh. So.
Guess we've stumbled into a hot button here. I didn't mean to press that. Is this, just real general, is this maybe only a question of quality of dub rather than a consistently thing?
Really well, then I will watch it. But once I see some really bad inconsistencies with it, I will turn it off.
Yeah.
Like with Naruto, like the dubbing, I can't stand it. And Lucky Star just got licensed, and the dubbing's horrible. But if you go back to the 90s, back when we had Tenchi Muyo, Sailor Moon, Outlaw Star, those dubs were really like, even now when I go back and listen to them, like, I just got Outlaw Star on DVD and I was rewatching it. I'm like, the dub is still good to me.
You're in for a treat if you're just now watching Outlaw Star.
I saw it before, but, like, I was young. I was, like, 8 years old, and I was like, ooh, spaceships! But now it's like, yes!
Yeah, Gundam Wing, the subbing or the dubbing's still good on that. Yeah. Mm, that was good.
Best,
yes, most.
Cowboy Bebop, tell me.
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop. Okay.
Just checking.
I prefer it in English, honestly.
Yeah, I did too. I watched it in English first, and then I tried the Japanese, but I didn't actually like the English better.
I think I like the English better.
The animes.
Absolutely amazing. The voices were great. For the characters.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to go a little more obscure, and I'm sure you guys are easy, better able to stump me than I am you. But Witch Hunter Robin.
Yep. Witch Hunter Robin! Oh! They canceled it. Yeah, why did they cancel that?
There is not enough viewers because the number of viewers that were taken for poll was not high enough to be able to show on the channel anymore. Plus, they had other anime that they wanted to show as well, so it was a pick between the two.
Witch Hunter Robin led some good cosplays. I've seen tons of good cosplays. Oh, I love Witch Hunter Robin. Oh, every time I see one, I'm like, can I get your picture, please? Oh, my gosh. It's good, because they remember it, you know? It's always good to, like, make a hat tip back to the past anime.
It's too huge here. But, you know, so when you see the ones that are, you know, little fighters still going, you wanna say, oh my gosh, I wanna get your picture. You know, you're so happy that someone else remembers the same things you do.
Yeah, that's good.
So do you guys draw, or are you just in?
A little. Well, you know, I think everyone kind of draws. I mean, even if you're not into anime, but, you know.
Look at the circle.
I wouldn't call myself professional by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Well, some of them.
Yeah.
But they're being paid, so.
You know what? Everybody starts somewhere, so.
I mean, it's just never something I've been super interested in.
I mean, I really do like it.
Yeah, you're good at it.
I disagree, but that's very nice of you.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
And again, one more time, your club meets on Saturday mornings.
Well,
my mistake.
Afternoons.
Okay.
1:30 to 3:00.
Okay, at the Evansville Public Library. Do y'all have a website?
On the teen section of the library website.
If you just go to the teen section of the library website, and then we have a MySpace for the teen zone.
What's your MySpace?
Pretty sure it's, if you type in Evansville and then you type in the teen zone, you'll probably find it. I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll figure it out. And the Evansville website is evpl.org. And you go into the teen zone, you can find Otaku Anonymous. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, fantastic. Well, guys, thank you so much for talking to me today. Enjoy your con.
Thank you.
Okay, I am with, what's your name?
Carmen.
Carmen? All right, and Carmen, you are at the art table. What's going on here?
Yeah, I'm just here displaying some of my artwork at the convention, sharing a table with Chris.
Okay. And what kind of artwork do you do?
Mostly anime.
Mostly anime? All right. I see a couple of examples here. You're working on something now. Is this just kind of doodling? Or?
Yeah, I'm just doodling.
Okay. So is this a hobby, or are you published somewhere?
I'm not published, but it's mostly a hobby, but I do sell my artwork.
Okay, fantastic. Oh, great. Do you have a website?
Yes. Yes, I do.
What's your website?
CarmelPixie.deviantart.com.
Oh, you're on DeviantArt. Nice. Okay, that's a huge community. Okay. Well, tell me just real quick, what are some of your influences?
You mean in the world of anime?
Sure.
I started out by watching Sailor Moon.
Oh, Sailor Moon's classic.
And all that Cartoon Network stuff, Dragon Ball Z and all that. Just got into it, and my friend found out about a mini convention where we used to live and dragged me to it, and it was kind of downhill from there. And I've always been drawing, so just caught my interest and started drawing. So.
Okay, fantastic. And what's your website? One more time?
CarmelPixie.deviantart.com.
Cool, thanks a lot.
I know, I've seen you do it on my ears.
All right, I'm still at the art table. What's your name, sir?
Chris Baylor.
Chris, nice to meet you. You got a couple of sketchbooks out here. What kind of art do you do?
It's a kind of a mainly American, but it has like a fusion between manga and American style.
Okay, well, what's your favorite style to draw in?
Favorite style, it has to be American style. I started out drawing manga and then kind of converted to American and made it both kind of a fusion little style thing. So.
Cool, fantastic. And you have a website, too?
Yes, I'm on DeviantArt. It's Z-U-R-R-I-D, Zerit, .deviantart.com.
Fantastic. And this is a lot of good stuff. You have a lot of examples here. I see two books full of stuff and comic book layouts and everything. Are you published?
I'm working on it. I've got some small published stuff through Comic Quest, but other than that, nothing real major.
Okay, yeah, I've been trying to corner the guys at Comic Quest for a little while. Jim's a tough guy to nail down. Tell me about, and that's the Comic Quest Creators Alliance. You want to tell me just a little bit about that?
We meet up every, now it's every last Saturday of the month. We get together, we draw comics, discuss publishing things, have a little events here and there. It's just, you have to be there to experience it, so.
Yeah, that's kind of tough to line up, especially I got two small kids. What are some of your big art influences?
A lot of my big art influences is Akira Toriyama, who did Dragon Ball Z. Jason Craig, who did Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash, because he's one of the only artists I've met one-on-one and discussed my artwork with. A lot of older comics in the past I've read, Marvel comics, all those. So.
Fantastic. Well, this looks really cool, and I'm looking forward to checking out your stuff online. What's your website? One more time.
Zerit.deviantart.com.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Okay, I've cornered one of the panelists and creators here at EvilCon backstage for just a second by his generosity. What's your name, sir?
I'm Josh Elder.
And you're most famous for?
Mail Order Ninja, the heartwarming tale of a boy who orders a ninja from a catalog, takes him to school, ninja hijinks ensue, as one might expect.
Absolutely, that's what it said on the big board they had outside. So tell me a little bit about Mail Order Ninja. Where'd this come from?
All right, well, Mail Order Ninja started in college. I was a film major at Northwestern University, and I had ordered a bunch of old comics off of eBay, and in these old comics, they would have ads for the most outrageous things like X-ray glasses, Charles Atlas gained 40 pounds of muscle, weightlifting programs, and I said, you know, what if you could order something really crazy out of one of these? Like, I don't know, a ninja. My friend said, dude, that's the best idea you've ever had. He was right. We were going to do it as a short film. We realized two very important things. One, ninja are quite expensive, and we're outside of our student film budget. And two, most parents wouldn't let their 10-year-olds be around a guy dressed all in black with a sword. So
figure.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. I revamped it as a comic, entered what's called the Rising Stars of Manga Contest that Tokyo Pop has every year, won the 2005 grand prize, was offered a book deal from Tokyo Pop out of that, and things went from there. We got picked up as a nationally syndicated newspaper comic strip. We've been approached by Jackie Chan to turn it into a live-action movie. Ninja. And, you know, we've gone the Hollywood route, and, you know, it's been shot to different studios, different directors, and we're actually waiting to hear back on one deal right now, which is pretty exciting. And then that led to me writing Batman Strikes for DC Comics, doing StarCraft for Tokyo Pop, and I'm right now in the running to do the WALL-E prequel comics for Disney and Boom Studios, as well as some stuff based on the Muppets.
Fantastic. Well, shoot, you just covered like the next three questions I had lined up. So I'm going to have to think on my feet here. I noticed that you are done by Tokyo Pop, and it's you're credited as Story by Joshua Elder on the cover, but I noticed you said you're just the writer and you're... co-creator or...
The story did originate with me, and then I sought out an artist, but I gave him co-creator credit because I felt he deserved it. His name's Eric Owen. He's a brilliant illustrator and a great guy. And he and I, you know, the book, I can't imagine the book without him, and therefore I, you know, try not to. And so I said, right. You know, you deserve it. You deserve a creator credit. He gets a cut of everything.
Sure.
You know, we're equal partners.
I thought I saw him in there in the copyright credit, too.
Yeah. You know, and that was, I mean, I owned it. I actually hired him to draw the short story rather than, you know, him approaching me as a partner. I hired him, but he was so good and he was so great to work with and he had so many great ideas of his own that I said, you know, we should... If we continue this, I want to bring you on as a full partner, and I did. And you know, it was it was a good move. We made a great book.
That's fantastic. You were making the comment out at the table that the writer is like the director and the screenwriter, and the artist does everything else.
Yeah.
Kind of have a big partnership going there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has to, and a lot of cartoonists obviously do everything themselves. But it's really hard to learn how to write well. And it's really hard to learn how to draw well. It's really, really hard to learn how to do both well, and it's extraordinarily time-consuming at the same time. So most comics are created through some kind of division of labor partnership, whether it's like the studio system like they have in Japan, where there's one guy who kind of, you know, gets the ball rolling, writes most of the dialogue, plots the stories, draws the main characters and lays the pages out, but then he has secondary characters who drawn by a garbist who can ghost his style. There's someone who fills in the backgrounds, there's someone who inks, there's someone else who letters. So I mean, you still divide the labor. In American comics, it's more of a there aren't as many steps, and generally, you know, the writer is considered kind of the prime author of the work. And then it goes to a penciler, you know, who's the prime artist of the work, and then the inker embellishes that. And I mean, that allows you to churn a comic out every month. But there is a certain touch that's lost. And with Mail Order Ninja, Eric handled all the art chores, and he and I were in constant contact about the process. And so it made it, I think, a better collaboration, and made it a better book.
Well, that's really cool. I've been enjoying it in the few minutes I've had to read while you were signing copies. Now, I noticed the style is very, very Japanese, very manga. Is that on purpose, or is that just kind of Eric's style?
Well, he's pretty chameleon-like in that he can do a lot of different styles depending on the project. He originally drew it. The short story was drawn in this very Invader, looked a lot like Invader Zim, for lack of a better reference, this angular, kind of very indie style, and it evolved into a more manga one because basically we were both moving in that direction and we were both absorbing a lot of manga influence at the time anyway, and the book was a natural fit for this idea of original English language manga, which is how Tokyopop marketed it. And as an attempt to reach out to fans of manga by giving them something that had a lot of similar stylistic tics but was very much culturally American. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of manga is just very weird and like and just very Japanese in
right.
a way that we just don't get.
Right.
And that creates it both, I mean, to some it creates like an allure because it's neat and it's exotic, but to others they're just like, it looks cool but I can't get it, I can't get into it. And we wanted to create a product that, you know, I mean, obviously the book we love on its own merits and the art style serves the story, but from a marketing perspective, it was this idea that can we reach out to manga fans by giving them something that they recognize but also still is very much American in its storytelling aims.
That's fantastic. And it reads left to right, which is a huge plus.
Yes, that does happen.
All right. Well, I got a lot of comic fans and aspiring creators who listen to my show. You have a few words of encouragement for them?
Well, I mean, I guess there's nothing that can ever stop you. And don't ever think that... I was an intern at DC Comics when I was in college, and I thought that the beyond and all, I thought comics was DC and Marvel. And writing those characters, that was my highest aspiration. And I wrote a story which I still think is the best thing I've ever written in my entire career. This was 10 years ago when I was an intern there. I gave it to people at DC, including editors, and they wept openly in front of me while reading it. It's a great story. It's a powerful story. It's an important story, and yet they were just like, "Well, we can't use you. We don't think this really fits in with our publishing schedule." And there are all sorts of very legitimate reasons that story didn't get picked up, but none of them stopped me from just like being heartbroken. And I never wrote anything for another year. And then I realized that I was letting the whims of just various people at DC dictate my existence. And that's no way to live. And I said, I am a creative person, and I have stuff I want to share with the world, and I'm going to. And I made Mail Order Ninja, you know, entirely my own idea. I was going to self-publish it on my own dime if I had to. Mm-hmm. And then the marketplace recognized it, and everything came from there. And eventually DC came to me and said, nice. We love this Mail Order Ninja thing you did. Can you bring some of that over to our Batman title? And I said, I could probably make that happen.
Well, if you're going to twist my arm.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I gotta see if I can make some room in my schedule.
Yeah, right.
You know, but it's... Be creative. Create something new. Do not make your goal to be like a paid fan fiction writer. Because it won't happen. Because the moment that you walk in and they know that's your only aspiration, they own you. Hmm. And even if they think they'll make money off of you, they can string you along until you're desperate, and you know then they bought you lock, stock, and key, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. Excuse me. I don't know where key came from. They bought you, they own you, and that's no. You can't be creative that way, and you can't live that way. So my advice is create something that's yours, put it out there, share it. You know, the internet is a magnificent tool for getting your art, for getting your story out into the world. And if it's good, and if you're good at selling it, then eventually they'll come to you, and you'll get to do that. And it's fun, and it's awesome to get to play with those toys. It's an amazing experience. But I have to say that even looking back now, as awesome as it was, as proud of the fact that I've written Batman, that I've written Superman, who's my favorite character of all, and I mean, I have his sigil tattooed on my flesh to prove it. Creating Mail Order Ninja and the responses I've gotten from that matter more to me than any corporate licensed comic that I've ever been a part of.
That's fantastic. Now, you said something in your workshop. I don't have the time to get into with you, but I thought it was very insightful, which is if you create the best thing and then don't tell people about it, you're doing them a disservice.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really great, and just it takes all the shame out of self-promotion, which since I'm gonna have to go, the electronic leash is beckoning.
Uh-oh.
But you have a website where people can find you?
I sure do. It's just joshelder.com. And you can go there to find out pretty much everything that I do, whether it's library appearances, whether it's my books, and what I've got coming up. I'm actually right now developing a digital comic distribution service that's going to be pretty awesome that we call Comic Feast, and that's going to be launching in the summer. So, I mean, there's all sorts of exciting, very cool stuff coming out.
That's great, and I know you're waiting for your favorite question of all time. When's Mail Order Ninja 3 coming out?
Oh, if only I knew. A lot of it, in fact, everything right now depends on the movie deal that is now making its way through Hollywood. And if we get optioned, which I think actually there's a better, like, there's a pretty good chance that we will. And if that happens, then the series will continue. I do have plans for up to 6 volumes. And they're going to be, each one will be more awesome than the last. And I can promise you that the ninja will fight evil Abraham Lincoln and evil George Washington at some point.
Oh, no.
And all sorts of insanity. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And I noticed this is set in Indiana, which
is
just a bonus. So there
it
you go.
Certainly is.
Well, Josh, thanks so much for talking to me today. It was a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Same here.
Well, it was a real thrill to meet Josh Elder and Chris Bailey and all the other people that I got to talk to at the con. I had a moment of panic there at the end of Josh's interview when I realized that the microphone was not plugged in into my recorder, but the ambient mic seems to have caught the interview okay, and I'm grateful for that. Definitely go and check out his stuff. Get you a copy of Mail Order Ninja as soon as possible. It's a great book. I bought a signed copy from him at the con, and I really, really enjoyed it. So ask your local comic book store to get a couple copies in, one for you and some for friends, or order one through the Amazon store on my webpage. Definitely go and check out Chris's webpage and Carmen's webpage, and see if you can't find Josh Elder online, and drop him an email. He was a great guy. I had a lot of fun at the con. I wish I had had more time to attend, but you know, that's the way things go. Anyway, thanks for sticking with me as long as you have. Send me an email to mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com and let me know what you think.